Tonight, several breaking stories as we come on the air. Multiple reported tornadoes, the severe storms across several states at this hour. Tonight, we have also just learned seven jurors have now been selected in Donald Trump's criminal case. Those seven jurors now in place for Trump's trial, including a salesman who immigrated from Ireland, a nurse who said she had no idea what she was walking into, a corporate attorney who says he's not very familiar with the allegations. And tonight, the judge in that courtroom admonishing Trump for muttering words at a prospective juror as that juror was being questioned. Erica Tursky outside the courthouse. At this hour, we are watching that severe storm threat across multiple states. Tornado watches in effect. At least 22 reported tornadoes. The system moving east. Rob Marciano timing it out. Tonight, after Iran's first ever direct assault on Israel, more than 300 missiles and drones, what ABC News has now learned about a potential Israeli response. Matt Gupman on the ground showing us an Iranian missile that's now been recovered.
If it had landed in a building, it would have destroyed it completely, causing dozens of casualties.
Tonight, Israel says they will retaliate. In the U.S., Speaker Mike Johnson preparing to take steps to aid Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, but risking his own future. A second Republican now coming forward to force him out. It could potentially take just one more. Rachel Scott live on the Hill. The horrific, deadly shooting of a 61-year-old Uber driver. Authorities say she had no idea that the homeowner she was doing a pickup for had been called by scammers and was told the Uber driver was in on it all. They say the homeowner then shot and killed the Uber driver. While Donald Trump was in court, President Biden in his hometown of Scranton, Pennsylvania today, a state he'll need to win re-election. Amid national polls now showing Biden with momentum in recent days, closing the gap, this is a very tight race. Tonight, the urgent recall from the FDA for 14,000 heart devices following the deaths of 14 patients, what we've learned. Also, the warning tonight about counterfeit Botox across several states. Multiple patients reporting significant issues. The WNBA drafting its newest star, Caitlin Clark, going to Indiana. Ticket sales already on fire. And tonight, what do Bill Withers, ABBA, and Blondie all have in common? The big move, and you'll hear it tonight.
From ABC News World Headquarters in New York, this is World News Tonight with David Muir.
Good evening, and we are just back from Tel Aviv tonight, where the Israeli War Cabinet met again this evening, and what ABC News has now learned about a potential Israeli response to the first ever direct attack on Israel by Iran, what we've learned. Also, multiple reported tornadoes across several states, the storm threat right now, 40 million Americans. We'll go live to Rob Marciano. But we do begin tonight with the news just in, day two of Donald Trump's criminal trial, and now seven jurors have been seated. Donald Trump watching closely as potential jurors were questioned by lawyers for the prosecution and for the defense. Trump's lawyers probing deep into the prospective jurors' social media posts. The judge agreeing to disqualify one juror who wrote on Facebook in 2017, quote, get him out and lock him up. The judge admonished Trump, though, at one point, Trump for muttering words aimed at a prospective juror as that juror was being questioned. When she left the room, the judge scolding Trump, telling his lawyers, speak to your client. Tonight, the remarkable scene inside that courtroom today and what we now know about the seven jurors already chosen tonight, one of them already tapped to be jury foreperson. Here's our senior investigative correspondent, Aaron Katursky, leading us off outside the courthouse again tonight.
Donald Trump arriving today at the Manhattan courthouse, where for more than 6 hours he sat watching his lawyers and prosecutors grill potential jurors who could hold his fate in their hands.
I should be right now in Pennsylvania, in Florida, in many other states, North Carolina, Georgia, campaigning.
At the end of the day, seven jurors were chosen. Three women, a teacher, a software employee at Disney, and an oncology nurse who said, I didn't know I was walking into this. And there are four men, the foreperson, a man born in Ireland who works in sales, two attorneys, and an IT consultant originally from Puerto Rico who called the former president fascinating and mysterious, saying he walks into a room and he sets people off one way or another. Throughout the day, the lawyers questioning the jury pool, looking to root out potential bias. The teacher who was chosen telling the court she's not a political person, but adding, Trump speaks his mind, and I'd rather that than someone who was in office who you don't know what they're thinking. Lawyers also scrutinizing social media accounts. Trump's attorney asking one man about a 2017 Facebook post where he wrote of Trump, get him out and lock him up. Judge Juan Merchan agreed to dismiss him from the case. Trump stayed mostly quiet, but at one point the judge chastised him for audibly muttering as a woman answered questions about what Trump's lawyer described as her extraordinarily hostile Facebook posts. One of those was a video of people dancing the day after the 2020 election, captioned "Full-on Dance Party at 96th Street." Judge Michon warned Trump's lawyer that Trump was muttering in the direction of the juror, saying, "I will not tolerate that. I will not have any jurors intimidated in this courtroom." Trump is charged with falsifying business records to cover up a $130,000 hush payment to porn star Stormy Daniels to conceal their alleged affair from voters before the 2016 election. That payment was made through Trump's former lawyer and fixer, Michael Cohen. Trump denies the affair, and today he insisted all he did was pay Cohen's legal fees.
"I was paying a lawyer and marked it down as a legal expense, some accountant, I didn't know, marked it down as a legal expense. That's exactly what it was. And you get indicted over that?"
But prosecutors say Trump knew exactly what the money was for, to pay off the porn star and fool American voters.
All right, so let's get right back to Aaron Kuchersky live outside the courthouse again tonight. Aaron, seven jurors now seated, both sides, of course, agreeing on each of these jurors. They still have to select five more jurors for a jury of 12, and then, of course, select six alternates as well. And Aaron, lawyers on both sides have a certain number of potential jurors they can reject outright.
They do, David. Each side is allowed to cut 10 people from the jury pool for almost any reason. And today, Trump used that power to eliminate four potential jurors. The district attorney's office used it to eliminate five. The jurors who were seated were sworn in, raising their hands and told to report to court as soon as Monday, meaning the judge thinks jury selection could be done by the end of the week, David, and opening statements could begin here Monday morning. David?
Which might be faster than expected. Aaron Kuchersky leading us off tonight. Aaron, thank you. We turn now to the severe weather threat for 40 million Americans as we're on the air here tonight. Major cities, Kansas City, Chicago, Cleveland, all in the potential bullseye. This whole system moving east. At least 22 tornadoes confirmed already from this system moving into the Ohio Valley tomorrow. Northwest of Omaha, this towering funnel cloud tearing up the ground near Howells, Iowa, the reported tornado. In Smithville, Missouri, look at this. The roof and much of the second floor of this home ripped to shreds by a confirmed tornado. And a dangerous moment on board this American Airlines flight out of Kansas City, an American Eagle flight, a lightning strike forcing it to return to the airport, the crew checking that plane for damage. Let's get right to senior meteorologist Rob Marciano. He's in Smithville, Missouri. This is just north of Kansas City, of course, right in the path of this severe weather. He's tracking it all for us. Hey, Rob.
Hi, David. That's where that Smithville tornado hit. You see the damage behind me. The wide breadth of tornadoes with this system, certainly impressive. It's very potent and a lot of wind coming in behind these tornadoes and very active radar still. We've got tornado warnings lining up along the Mississippi River. Look out, Davenport. That's where the strongest line is. But the rain already reaching the Chicago. The tornado watches are up until at least 8 o'clock tonight. This will kind of go through in two waves. The leading wave goes through Chicago in the next couple of hours and another one behind that pushing across the lakes, across Michigan, across Ohio, into the Northeast. And then a second line develops in the afternoon. Detroit to Cleveland could see some tornadoes there. Rain into New York by rush hour tomorrow. David?
Rob Marciano tracking it into the night for us. Rob, thank you. And as I mentioned, we are just back from Tel Aviv tonight and this evening after Iran's first ever direct assault on Israel, more than 300 missiles and drones. What ABC News has now learned about a potential Israeli response. Matt Gutman on the ground in Israel again tonight for us.
Tonight, new images of Iran's first ever direct attack on Israel. Video from a village near Israel's Nevatim airbase showing missiles raining down. Israel saying they only caused minor damage and vowing to respond. And tonight, a senior U.S. official telling ABC News that response is expected to be limited. And the Israelis have told the U.S. they will retaliate very carefully. We pressed the Israeli military today.
Is it fair to say that some sort of response is coming?
We will know how to do and when to do and what to do.
Israel's war cabinet meeting behind closed doors for a third consecutive day, but no final decision over how and when to retaliate. At a base in southern Israel today, we were shown one of those Iranian missiles recovered from the Dead Sea.
What you're looking at here is the back end of one of those Iranian missiles. Right around here would have been the engine. And this fuselage here is actually the fuel tank. It is over 38 feet long, made out of steel, and right around here would have been the warhead, capable of carrying 800 pounds of high explosives.
Israel saying 99% of the more than 300 drones, missiles, and rockets launched late Saturday were shot out of the sky. But for roughly 15 minutes, Israeli and U.S. officials, stunned by the scale of the attack, fearing the U.S.-led coalition and Israel's missile defense systems would not hold. Iran saying that attack was retaliation for the Israeli airstrike in Syria that killed top military commanders, and making it clear it will respond quickly to any further action by Israel.
David, with each passing day, the pressure on Israel to exercise extraordinary care here is increasing both here and abroad. And today, the Israeli military taking us to see that bus-sized ballistic missile, which they say could easily have taken out an apartment building. One reason that officials say that there has to be some sort of response to that unprecedented Iranian attack, and analysts telling us it could be covert, but it's likely to have a light footprint, David.
Extraordinary image you witnessed there today really drives it home. 300 missiles and drones from Iran. Matt, thank you. Meantime, back here in the U.S. tonight on Capitol Hill, now a second Republican moving to try to oust House Speaker Mike Johnson as he prepares to move forward with aid for Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan. ABC's Rachel Scott today asking Speaker Johnson about those threats from inside his own party to either step down or be ousted.
I am not resigning, and it is, in my view, an absurd notion that someone would bring a vacate motion. We are simply here trying to do our jobs.
So, Rachel, this potentially takes just one more Republican. Speaker Johnson remaining defiant as he prepares to push several of these separate foreign aid bills through the House.
That's right, David, and it's a move that could cost Speaker Johnson his job. The Speaker has made it clear he plans to take that $95 billion package that passed the Senate with bipartisan support to provide additional aid to Israel, Ukraine, and Taiwan, and divide it into four separate measures in the House, but that is now prompting calls for him to be ousted. Congressman Thomas Massey joining Congresswoman Marjorie Taylor Greene. Both are fierce critics of providing additional aid to Ukraine. Johnson knows that he's faced with a razor-thin majority, so if just one more Republican joins that effort, he could be ousted as Speaker, plunging the House into chaos without a Speaker yet again, and forcing Johnson to not only turn to Democrats to save his job, but also to push that aid for Israel and Ukraine across the finish line, David.
You'll be tracking this for us. Rachel, thank you. Next tonight to the horrific deadly shooting of a 61-year-old Uber driver. Authorities say she had no idea that the homeowner she was doing a pickup for had been called by scammers and was told that the Uber driver was in on it all. They say the homeowner then shot and killed that Uber driver. Here's Alex Perez.
Tonight, Ohio authorities say both people in this video, the man with the gun and the woman, an Uber driver, were scammed last month with deadly consequences. 81-year-old William Brock charged in the murder of 61-year-old Uber driver Lolitha Hall. Authorities say Brock had received calls from scammers telling him a relative had been arrested, demanding $12,000 for bail, telling him a driver would stop by to pick up a package with the money. Authorities believe the same scammers directed that Uber driver to pick up a package at Brock's home without telling her what they had told the homeowner. Hall had no idea what she was walking into when she arrived, Brock then confronting her at gunpoint.
I was threatened that she was going to come and kill me.
Hall, frantic.
Sir, yes. I'm here to pick up a package. Yes, I know what you're after.
Investigators say Brock took her cell phone, and when she tried to get in her car to get to safety, Brock stopped her from leaving, shooting her three times, later calling 911.
Well, I shot her in the leg first time, and I shot her in the shoulder.
Hall later died. In a statement, Uber saying this is a horrific tragedy and banning the account of the individual who made the request.
And David, authorities say they cannot stress enough, law enforcement will never solicit cash. That should always be a red flag. David?
Alex Perez, just a horrible story tonight. Alex, thank you. We turn next to the Supreme Court, hearing a case challenging a federal law that prosecutors have been using to charge hundreds of January 6th Capitol rioters, as well as Donald Trump. Now that law is being questioned, how it's being used, and the justices appear to be divided on this. ABC's Devin Dwyer at the Supreme Court tonight.
Tonight, justices at the Supreme Court appear divided over one of the key charges brought against January 6 protesters and against Donald Trump. The question whether the U.S. government can bring felony obstruction charges in relation to January 6th. The answer could imperil a key part of Special Counsel Jack Smith's election interference case against Trump and upend the prosecution of more than 350 participants in the Capitol attack, possibly leading to reduced sentences in some cases. At issue is whether a law enacted to prevent the destruction of evidence in financial crimes, carrying up to 20 years in prison, can be applied to those who disrupted certification of the 2020 presidential election. Joseph Fisher, a former police officer who breached the Capitol that day, brought the case, his attorney arguing the Justice Department has gone too far.
Attempting to stop a vote count or something like that is a very different act than actually changing a document or altering a document.
The court's conservative majority appeared sympathetic to the police officer's case.
Would a heckler in today's audience qualify or at the State of the Union address? Would pulling a fire alarm before a vote qualify for 20 years in federal prison?
The court's liberal members focused on the plain text, which makes it a crime to obstruct, influence, or impede any official proceeding.
There are ways, multiple ways, in which the drafters could have made it clear that they intended to also operate only in the sphere of evidence spoliation. But it doesn't do that.
David, two of the four charges against former President Trump in the election interference case involve this same law. If the justices side with that police officer, Trump's attorneys could move to toss out the obstruction charges. He could still be prosecuted on the other charges, but that, David, will depend on the much bigger question of presidential immunity, which the Supreme Court will take up next week. David?
In the coming days, and you'll be watching that as well for us. Devin Dwyer tonight. Devin, thank you. When we come back here, the warning tonight about counterfeit Botox across several states, multiple patients reporting significant issues, and the urgent recall tonight from the FDA. This is their highest level of concern after 14,000 heart devices following the deaths of 14 patients. We'll have more in a moment here.
We've got the exclusive view behind the table. Every day, right after the show, while the topics are still hot, the ladies go deeper into the moments that make the view, the view. The Views Behind the Table podcast. Listen wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, I'm Andy Mitchell, a New York Times bestselling author.
And I'm Sabrina Kohlberg, a morning television producer. We're moms of toddlers and best friends of 20 years.
And we both love to talk about being parents, yes, but also pop culture.
So we're combining our two interests by talking to celebrities, writers, and fellow scholars of TV and movies.
Cinema, really.
About what we all can learn from the fictional moms we love to watch.
From ABC Audio and Good Morning America, Pop Culture Moms is out now wherever you listen to podcasts.
Tonight, the CDC is investigating more than a dozen illnesses linked to counterfeit Botox injections. At least 19 people have been treated in 9 states, several patients hospitalized. Authorities warn many of the fake products were improperly labeled, were given by unlicensed people, and not in a health setting. Health officials say FDA-approved Botox is safe. They urge people use only licensed professionals. Tonight, the FDA issuing what's called a Class 1 recall for heart pumps with a potentially deadly safety risk, the highest level of urgency for the FDA. The warning for about 14,000 Abbott HeartMate 2 and HeartMate 3 devices. There is concern over potential buildup of biological materials in the device, making it more difficult for the heart to pump blood. 14 deaths and nearly 300 injuries linked to the issue. The recall is to correct the problem, not to actually remove the device.
The first ever criminal trial of a former president is underway in Manhattan. It's one of potentially 4 trials facing former President Trump as he makes his third bid for the White House. What do voters think about his culpability, and would a guilty verdict make a difference in the election? I'm Galen Druk, and every Monday and Thursday on the 538 Politics podcast, we break down the latest news from the campaign trail. We sort through the noise and zoom in on what really matters, using data and research as we go. That's 538 Politics every Monday and Thursday, wherever you get your podcasts.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia. Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.
To the index tonight, the WNBA's newest star, Caitlin Clark, going first in the draft. Here's the celebrations. Members of the Indiana Fever celebrating their newest teammate with thousands of fans at that watch party. Ticket sales already soaring tonight. Her New Jersey number 22 selling out.
The first taste of rare bourbon you finally got your hands on. That's nice. At Caskers.com, we make this experience easy. Caskers is a one-stop spirit curator with an impressive selection of exclusive, sought-after, rare, and household names in the realm of premium spirits and champagne. Discover the top flavors of the year now by going to Caskers.com and using code WELCOME10 for $10 off your first purchase. Get $10 off your first purchase with code WELCOME10 at Caskers.com.
Funny tonight here from ABBA to Bill Withers to Blondie, their songs now heading to a new permanent home.
Ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
Tonight, the new honor, and you know every one of these songs.
It's not warm when she's away.
The Library of Congress inducting 25 additional recordings now going into their National Recording Registry. Bill Withers, Ain't No Sunshine.
Hey, I ought to leave the young thing alone, but ain't no sunshine when she's gone.
ABBA's Dancing Queen.
Watch that scene, digging the dancing queen.
Blondie's Heart of Glass. Lead singer Debbie Harry and what she told the Library of Congress.
When we handed in this album, the record company didn't like it. They didn't hear any hits. Somehow being a bit of a fringe element, we got to do some things that were groundbreaking.
Tonight, the Library of Congress saying the recordings are, quote, audio treasures worthy of preservation of all time, including Bobby McFerrin's Don't Worry, Be Happy.
Don't worry, be happy. Don't worry, be happy now.
You'll be humming that all night. We love them all. I'll see you tomorrow. Good night.
Wednesday night on ABC, Brittany Griner, for the first time since being released from a Russian prison, shares her story.
You've been told to go through your bag, and you felt...
Felt the cartridge.
What were you thinking at that moment when you felt that?
My life is over right here.
Her sentence.
Just been told you're going to be 9 years in one of the worst prisons in Russia.
I was just so scared for everything, because there's just so much unknown.
Brittany Griner, Robin Roberts, Prisoner in Russia, Wednesday night at 10, 9 central on ABC.